This is the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour. I'm Christina Onnestad, host and publisher of the Mendocino Country Independent. We're a monthly publication of news, art, and culture here in Mendocino County. Today we're going to be talking with a few different guests in the studios. We've got Diane Durham here with us. Good afternoon, Diane.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Diane is with Occupy Ukiah, and they're planning a rally for May Day. They're participating in the May Day general strike across the country that's happening. Here in Ukiah, they're targeting local banks. Not local banks, local international banks that
yeah.
are here locally.
Here locally,
so,
yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that, what the local plans are for the Solidarity May Day action. And we're also going to speak with a member of the public who contacted The Independent and KMEC Radio with concerns that the Sheriff's Department was violating the First Amendment rights of petition gatherers here in Mendocino County. So we're gonna hear from that person, Denny O'Brien. He's also a KMEG DJ. So we're gonna talk with Denny about what his experience was, and apparently he's written a complaint to the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department. And also we're gonna be joined with Michael Streeter. He is a man here in Ukiah who's forming a new group. It's a Native American Support Network. And what that is it's a place where non-Native American people can organize to support local Native American struggles here in Mendocino County, and we have a rich Pomo population of Native Americans. So we're going to hear what Michael Streeter's plans are and what his vision is for the organization and how people not connected to the Native American community can be supportive of those issues. And one of those issues that the Mendocino Country Independent has followed closely is the Rattlesnake Island issue, which some of you I'm sure are familiar with. It's a sacred island to the Alem Pomo in Lake County, just right next door to us. And Bay Area electronics mogul John Nady has bought the land from the Lake County Board of Supervisors and is almost done building a vacation rental home right there on the property. So that's an issue that's ongoing. And I want to let you know a couple things, a few bits of news before we go into our interviews here. One is the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour is broadcast every day here on KMEC, every Monday here on KMEC, 105.1 FM live, the Mendocino Environmental Center. We're also broadcast on KYBU. 96.9 FM in Covelo. And I want to let you know also that we're going to be covering another issue in our paper, which is out due in about a week now, the 1st of May. And one of the issues that I recently attended, I think I was one of the only reporters in the room when this happened, and this was the Mendocino County Planning Commission met last week, and they voted unanimously to oppose a development project on Lover's Lane. This is a development project that actually Mendocino County approached the Pomo tribe with property that they own on Lover's Lane to ask them if they would be interested in rezoning it for residential property. And the residential property is the R3 zoning is the highest density property. It would allow them to, on their, 17 acres, somewhere around 17 acres of land, to build over 300 units of housing development there. And Lover's Lane here in Ukiah is on the outskirts of town, and it's where a lot of farms are. So lots of local farmers in that area came out and said, we need to keep our agricultural land. We need to keep it agricultural, and we need to prevent sprawl, and we need to have better development policies. And the Ukiah Planning Commission agreed, and they unanimously voted to oppose, to not recommend developing, rezoning this 17 or so acre parcel for high residential development, high density residential development. And now that decision goes to the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. The interesting story behind this is the reason why the county is desperately looking for property to rezone is because the county was sued by Northern Legal Services, Northern California Legal Services here in Mendocino County, because Mendocino County doesn't have enough low-income housing, affordable housing for people in the area. And so the legal organization sued the county because of that, and they won. And it's the settlement of the lawsuit was that Mendocino County, by May 1st of I think it's May 1st or August 1st, and by sometime this summer in the next 6 months, we'll say Mendocino County has to come up with several acres of land that's high density zoned, so that way they're showing in good faith that they have enough zoned property to meet the housing element for low-income, affordable housing in Mendocino County. And so they're desperate to meet that legal requirement. Otherwise, they could likely end up back in court before the end of the year. And but Lover's Lane was a piece of property they identified, and it's a piece of property that the Planning Commission says this is poor planning. We don't need sprawl. We need to build up, not out. And we need to preserve our agricultural lands and wildlands here in Mendocino County. So that's a bit of news for you. We're going to be covering that more in depth in our paper next that's out next week. Also, want to let you know we also have a new green business section out. And what we're doing in our new green business section is we're highlighting local, sustainable, environmentally friendly businesses. One of the businesses we're going to be highlighting next month is a local craftsman. His name is John Canan, and he's using small diameter pole construction to build furniture. Usually these pieces of wood would be cut because they're small and they're thin, and they'd be cut and just left to dry and would be a fire hazard. And what he's doing is he's thinning out the forest so that way they're healthy and they're not overcrowded with a bunch of small competing trees. And he's taking the timber and he's making locally harvested and locally crafted furniture. And so keep an eye out for that in our local green business section. And so I want to thank Diane Durham for being in the studios with us today. And Diane is a member of Occupy Ukiah.
Yep.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good
Thanks.
To be here. Thanks.
Thanks for being with us. So let's see. May Day is the International Workers' Day and General Strike.
Yeah.
Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, May 1st at noon. Occupy Ukiah is sponsoring a workers' forum with, you know, bag lunch and potluck. So this will allow for people, even those who choose to work that day, to take an hour or a little longer, come on over to Alex Thomas Plaza, bring your lunch with you, or if you want to participate in the potluck, you're welcome to do so, and have your lunch and participate in or either just listen to or share your voice in a forum on working and on the modern day work. What can I call it? A work hazard, or just working today, what that's like. And we'll just have some people share, open mic. People will be able to share about working.
All right. And my understanding is there was going to be some kind of a rally around banks. Is that,
yes,
is that right?
Yes. You know, the working is tied very closely into, you know, how we make our money and what we're able to do with that money. I mean, we all work for a livelihood. You know, those who do work for a livelihood. And that's really closely tied into how much of our work is spent on, you know, paying taxes and stuff like that. So, and a lot of this is determined by those who are very much in controlling position of our financial system, the big banks. And so what we do with our time during the day is closely related to how much of our production, how much money we make, actually goes to the banks and is controlled by the banks. So we're going to make some connections at this rally with regard to the banks, and then appropriately we will, at the end of the forum, we will march in protest of the big banks and their many scandalous policies that are really making life difficult for working people.
So is this targeting specific banks, local banks, credit unions?
Right now, we don't have a problem with local banks and credit unions. Many of them are reinvesting in the local communities, which is a good thing. Our problem is with the bigger banks, B of A, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase banks, that participated in, you know, huge bailouts over the years, previous years, and have not invested in communities, not really, and are just profiting hand over fist, largely at taxpayer expense. So, you know, in the recent, there's been in the news, well, for some time now, but even recently here in Ukiah, we've done some things with regard to foreclosure, and big banks are all in that too, foreclosing fraudulently in many cases, we think, and that was proven in certainly in San Francisco's recent audit of their foreclosed homes, that 84% of their records showed some type of fraud or inaccuracy. And so we can assume from that that there's similar types of fraudulent behavior happening in most counties in California and probably around the country. So, yes, we are targeting the bigger banks and not the small local banks. What else can I say? Yeah, so the forum is, you know, we are, you know, what's called May Day, International Workers' Day, General Strike. We are really just calling on people to honor labor by stopping what they are doing, stopping business as usual, taking time, the day if you can, or even the hour and hour plus, to just stop and think. Stop and think about, you know, what you are doing on your job, whether it's fulfilling work, whether it's worthwhile, whether the system that you're participating in is something that you feel really good about. Maybe you do. Many people do not. And think about what might make work for all of us, and then come and share your ideas, share your thoughts, share your experiences.
Will you be at all discussing alternative economies like the time bank and how that fits into the system we have?
I imagine so, absolutely. We're certainly open to bringing forth all types of alternatives. We haven't identified yet any people to speak within, you know, who may be part of Occupy Ukiah and what exactly they may share. But certainly we are opening, this is a public forum, so we're opening it up to people to come and share ideas that are alternatives to what we are so used to, as if what we're used to is the best thing going, you know.
And, you know, just to let listeners know, and we've covered this in our paper, Mendocino County, we have a local time bank, which is an international movement that people participate in. And there's also local currencies as well that Dave Smith over at Mulligan Books is the Mendo Mula, I think it's called.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Has, so is this at all going to include a critique of capitalism, I'm wondering, since that's kind of our current economic philosophy in this country?
I would only imagine so. Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, you know, we're not coming out of the gate necessarily as like gangbusters, you know. I think what our purpose is, what my desire, my heart's desire, is to really educate people more about the current system and its limitations and its way of really, I guess I could say, oppressing people. To bring that to light, to help make people aware, a great way of doing that is by asking people questions about, you know, things that are contradictory, and maybe revealing some of those contradictions so that people continue to think on these things.
Could you tell us what are some of the contradictions? We don't have a lot of time. But.
Okay, sure. Just, I mean, one big fat one to me is that people can work all day long, all week long, all year long, and barely make ends meet, barely pay rent. Sometimes are living with other extended family members or friends because they just are not able to make enough money to prosper in a way that they would like to. That to me is contradictory. The fact that many people who are working full time are also eligible for benefits like food stamps or other types of benefits because their wages are low. There's a huge contradiction that people who are working, some people who are working don't have decent benefits, healthcare benefits.
That's another way that people have coined it, corporate welfare, where you work for like a large chain and such as Walmart or McDonald's, and
yes.
But you still qualify for food stamps.
Yeah.
And it's a way of propping up big business, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. How can people get involved? What do they do as we wrap up our conversation here?
Well, please, what can I say? Come to the Alex Thomas Plaza next Tuesday, May 1st, for this Workers Forum. I will say that depending on how many people sign up to speak, there will likely be a limitation of how long you can speak, just maybe a few minutes, but, you know, that's still good. It's a way of still being heard. Bring a lunch with you, or if you'd like to bring a potluck dish to share, that's even better. We're all about community sharing, and I think this is a great opportunity to commune together. So if you'd like to bring a dish, please do. You can go online to our website, OccupyUkiah.info. There is an email address there or that you can either click or, you know, access to our email if you have any specific questions about this day of events. We'll be at the plaza from beginning at 11 o'clock for sign making if you'd like to help us make signs for the bank protest. So be there at 11 for that. Noon, the lunch and the forum begins, and after that, we will begin a march around 1 o'clock, with our signs protesting the big banks and their connection to the economic downfall of this country. So,
all right. Are there any particular banks you'll be protesting at?
Well, we have three in close proximity on State Street. So that's my guess, is that we'll be walking down probably to Chase and then to Wells Fargo and B of A as well. So that's my guess.
All right. And this is at the Alex Thomas Plaza, which is right there next to the Billiards. It's right there off of it's in between School and State Street in downtown Ukiah, right?
Yes, downtown Ukiah. It's like on the corner of Church and Church Street. Yeah. So we'll be there. Come at 11 if you can to help make signs. And we'll be grateful for folks showing up and sharing their creative thoughts. It's all about coming up with some solutions and some alternatives to what we have right now.
All righty. And where can people get more info?
People can go to our website, OccupyUkiah.info. There will be information. The flyer is posted there or will be posted there this evening. It may already be posted. There's also our direct email address where you can email a question or comment, and someone will certainly reply to you. And you'll see a lot of other stuff about what's going on with Occupy Ukiah on our website.
All right, Diane. Well, thanks so much for joining us on KMEC on the Independent News Hour.
Thank you so much, Christina. It's been good being here and sharing.
All right, wonderful.
All right.
That was Diane Durham. She's with Occupy Ukiah, and they're rallying up. They're participating in the International May Day, International Workers Day, and General Strike planned next Tuesday in 8 days here in Ukiah. Think global, act local. Occupy your mind. The revolution begins within. They're having a workers' forum, a bag lunch and potluck at Alex Thomas Plaza at 12 noon. Sign making begins at 11 a.m. And there's going to be a march at 1 p.m. here in downtown Ukiah. We're going to take a musical break, and then we're going to be joined in the studios by Denny O'Brien. He's got a story to tell and a complaint that he's filed with the Sheriff's Department for allegedly violating someone's First Amendment rights. In the studios with me right now is Dennis O'Brien.
Hi there.
Hi, Dennis. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
So just to let our listeners know, you do host a radio show here on KMEC.
Yes, on Fridays, my nom de guerre, so to speak, is yours truly, and the name of the show is AOR, Album Oriented Rock, and that goes from 5 to 7, and we do a community bulletin board for all the weekend activities at 6 o'clock.
Wonderful. And you used to be the manager here at KMAC.
Yes, I was. I was
one of the founders.
Board of directors and became a manager of the station. In fact, I was with Govinda and Fly some 10 or so years ago when we actually put together the application. So, and then suddenly it happened. So it's just great.
Wonderful. So you're here to tell us a story. What happened a week ago?
What happened a week ago? Well,
April 16th.
As a friend of mine said, I was just innocently going to do a shopping trip, having given up almost all of my advocacy work. And there was a woman in front of, this is at the Raley's Market down at the north end of town.
Just right off of State Street.
Yeah, and it's a shopping center with about 15 stores in it. And so I'm walking towards her, and she says, hey, would you like to sign petitions to get these ballot measures on the ballot? And I thought, great. This is something everyone can do for free, and I've been doing it ever since I was old enough. So I said, what do you got? So she starts showing me these things, and she mentions that she's feeling a little bit anxious because she went in to do a courtesy visit to the management, and they kind of gave her the bad look. And wouldn't you know, as I'm halfway through...
So tell us a little more. What kind of petitions did she have?
Well, one I remember was for to increase the taxes on people and businesses making over a certain amount. I think it's $250,000 a year.
California.
California. These are state, yeah.
Uh-huh. So these are potential propositions that could be before voters.
Yes, statewide petitions from the looks of it that were all going to be before the voters. And this was, this is where it all gets started. Every statewide petition and nearly every candidacy has to start with getting petitions from people.
At the local level.
Yeah, yeah.
Every issue to go before voters starts with your signature.
It cannot happen without the people. You got it. I'm at the second one. She's got at least three, and I'm at the second one, and this guy comes out, and he's kind of got a polo shirt on with a Mendocino County Sheriff's Office on one breast, kind of shirt they hand out at events. But then down on his belt, he had the official badge, you know, that kind of leather thing with a badge on the front that said sheriff or something like that. And he comes out and he says, we have to stop. And the woman said, well, I'm just doing my free speech rights. I believe she was working for an organization doing this. She had referred to her boss at one time when we were talking earlier. And so she had some knowledge of the whole thing. And the officer kept saying, hey, you got to go. I got called by the property owner here, the store owner, and he wants you to go. And that's when I got involved.
Well, who was the officer?
His name is Detective Whitaker.
With the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office or Ukiah Police Department?
He identified himself as being with the Sheriff's Department, and that's what his badges said, his badges and his shirt logo. And he identified himself. He gave his full name. All I could remember was the last name, and that he was a detective. And so he told us we had to go. And so I said, well, are you aware of the First Amendment? And he said, yes, I am. I said, and you know that it guarantees the right of free speech at shopping centers. And he said, well, I'm here enforcing state private property laws. And the First Amendment doesn't apply to that. And
okay, so Denny, I see your eyes rolling. What's going on?
Well, I keep laughing at myself because I was a lawyer for many years,
currently work in the legal realm, right?
Well, I was the small claims advisor for Mendocino County until that position was dropped last year. So I've become one of the early retirees of the new economy when government cuts back its services. It just so happens that I loved constitutional law when I studied it decades ago. And when I took the bar exam, the essay question was, people are taking petitions at a shopping center. You know, so just for coincidence, it just happens to be all real strong in my head. So I'm kind of rattling off the stuff from the bar exam question. You know, did you know about this? Oh, yeah. And so he says it doesn't apply. I said, well, I think Sheriff Allman would disagree with that. And he says, well, Sheriff Allman can't tell me how to enforce the law. So I ask him if he was on duty, and he says, yes, he was. I repeated that, you know, it did apply, and that we had to. And so he then said, if you two don't stop right now, I'm going to have to arrest you. And so the woman, you know, she immediately picked up her clipboards and went away, and I went on into the store to shop. So, just because I couldn't get it out of my head when I was done shopping, I went up to the sheriff's office. I thought maybe Sheriff Allman might be in. He wasn't, but his assistant, wonderful woman, very sympathetic. I didn't get her name, but I was and as I was telling her the story, she stopped me one moment and she said, "How did the detective even know that someone was there?" And I said, "Well, the woman told her that she had gone in and talked to the store owner, and so I assumed that the store owner made the call." And at that moment, the sheriff's assistant rolled her eyes, and which also started when I got to the point about the detective stated that Sheriff Allman couldn't tell him how to enforce the law. Okay, so, you know,
okay.
Already I'm thinking we've got a rogue detective or something going on here.
And have you gotten a reply? Have you gotten a response? Did you file a complaint?
Well, I did. What happened? She told me how to file an official complaint. And so I went home and I typed it all up and I got the form. They have it online and I filled that out. And I went in and I submitted it. I gave the sheriff, I dropped off a courtesy copy for him. And then what you have to do is you have to submit it officially to the supervisor of the offending officer, so to speak. And in this case, it was someone called Lieutenant Van Patten, who was in charge overseeing Detective Whitaker. So Detective Van Patten called me at home within a couple of hours afterwards. And if you want, I can let you know what he said. It's all pretty good news,
go
actually.
Go ahead.
He acknowledged that people are indeed allowed to engage in free speech in front of shopping centers or at shopping centers in front of stores, including petitioning for signatures on ballot measures. He acknowledged right up front that that's the law and that we shouldn't have been stopped.
And let's be clear, what sets precedence for that law? Because the MEC is connected to that.
Some years ago there was some demonstrating going on at Walmart. In fact, Richard Johnson, who founded the independent newspaper, continuing the legacy of,
was arrested.
He was arrested, and for petitioning. Okay, and passing out stuff, and it applies not just to getting the ballot measure stuff, but to passing out information, leafleting.
Now he was petitioning for the.
I forget exactly what it was.
Anti-GMO.
Was that it?
It was a successful ballot.
One of those that ultimately did get on, and that's what I kept thinking of when I was going through this, especially Mendocino County. We're the folks that pass measures that other people don't, just because I don't know.
We're forward thinkers.
We're forward thinkers. We're politically active. We will go out there and ask people to get them to sign petitions and stuff like that. And Richard wasn't being paid. You know, he was just out there doing it. And so he gets arrested. And then I think what happened is that a week or so later, five or six other people are out there.
Including former Congressmember Dan Hamburg, who's now on...
currently on the Board of Supervisors.
Fifth District he's representing.
Uh-huh. And
Linda McClure, Ed Nieves, who are both on the board of the Mendocino Environmental Center also.
Yes, indeed. And a few others.
A small group.
Uh-huh.
Yes, small group.
And they apparently got arrested. I mean, literally arrested. They're not just told to go away, but the store owner calls the police. And this is what made me think of what happened in the civil rights movement decades ago. A private store owner has a personal preference. I don't want these people here. It could be these people of color. It could be these people, the agitators, in their minds. And so they call an official, someone that we the people have given the power to do things that most of us can't do, like take someone to jail, you know, handcuff them. And that's what happened. This private store owner calls. These folks, the police come, they arrest the Dan and the other six or so, and later they're sued. I'm not sure who all the defendants were, at least Walmart was, perhaps even the county. And there was some sort of settlement. People had to pay out real dollars.
And the people won. It wasn't the people. The company had to pay out real dollars.
That's
and
it.
The people won the lawsuit, which upheld their First Amendment rights to petition at a retail store.
Yeah. And
so this is precedence that's already been set.
And I remember reading in the Ukiah Daily Journal back then about how one of the judges said that I think it was putting up with political protest in front of your store is one of the prices of doing business in California, something like that. Accommodating free speech is one of the costs of doing business in the politically active community. That's what it was. So all this is in my head. So I was very pleased, actually, when I got the call from Lieutenant Van Patten, and he said, yeah, that's the law. And his only excuse for...
I have a question
for
you as a legal expert,
okay.
Dennis. If you were to say, actually, I'm engaging in my First Amendment rights,
uh-huh.
and if you arrest me, you're violating them. Mm-hmm. If you and that woman did not refuse to leave
uh-huh.
and stood your ground,
uh-huh.
would this be a potential First Amendment violation constitutional lawsuit against the sheriff's
I believe it already has that potential, although I'm not feeling in the mood to file lawsuits these days. It could happen because we were kept from getting to the next petition. I wasn't able to get to the third or fourth, however many she had. I know it was more than two.
So you were denied
I was
your
denied
right
my right
to participate in democracy.
Correct.
By the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office.
Precisely.
And
the petition.
And by specifically Officer Whitaker.
Yes, Detective Whitaker specifically on that date, in spite of all my discussion about the First Amendment, took that right away from me.
Okay, and this is your side of the story. I just want to be clear.
That's very true. And, in fact, I can even note that in yesterday's Ukiah Daily Journal, Casey Meadows, the publisher, had called me a day earlier and asked if she could publish. I dropped off the complaint and everything. She wanted to publish it as a letter to the editor, and it ended up as something called Sunday Voices, Another Voice by Dennis O'Brien, and she took out the name of the officer because it is indeed my allegation.
It's a touchy subject.
Very touchy subject, and I think that's why Lieutenant Van Patten called back immediately. He tried to explain that Detective Whitaker had been off the street, as he said it, for 4 years, doing other types of work. He might not have been as up on the law as a police officer should be when it comes to things like that. He did say he would at least counsel that officer and make sure that the rest of the department got at least a written update or reminder of what the law was on those things. I asked him if he could do something more to get the word out into the public, because right now the word on the street is you do petitions in front of a store, the police are going to show up and you might get arrested.
And there's fear of that.
And there's fear of that.
And actually, we've heard stories of people being told by other managers at other corporate retail businesses
uh-huh.
that what they're doing, that they can't do it and threaten them with the action by law enforcement.
Correct. They will act as if they have the power of law behind them.
Benny, you're a legal expert here. What's your advice to someone who's listening, who's interested, and maybe is even gathering petitions for state or local initiatives? What would you suggest to them to say?
Well, I would
if they're in such a situation.
If they're in such a situation, I would first off, if a police officer at any time is threatening you with some form of arrest. Okay, you almost have to comply. I'm told that even if you sit down and go limp, that's considered a form of resisting arrest. So even if your rights are being violated in some way, you kind of sort of have to go along with it and then make the protest later on. Now, there are, you know, there's civil disobedience. You know, you can allow it to happen and do it that way. At this point, I would advise anyone to kind of do what I did. Start out by saying, please identify yourself. And if they do show a proper identification, and they'll do that. That's like day one of their training. They got to identify themselves, show you their badge. And if they do that, then you're allowed to say, are you aware of such and such a law? And for those who are listening, by the way, the Civil War was fought so that the Constitution was applied to the states. In other words, states cannot pass laws against the freedoms that the federal Constitution guarantees. So, yes, the Bill of Rights does apply to the states, and every enforcer of law in that state, including a detective of a county sheriff's department. So tell them the law. You might even do what I do. Hey, you might want to check with your boss on this before you do anything stupid. Well, you speak kindly, of course. Always be kind. But if they push it, if they say this is the line, if you don't leave right now, you're under arrest. You know, you can make your choice. Either leave then or choose to be arrested, but go along with it, do everything they ask you to do, it, and it then becomes civil disobedience. And that's a choice each person makes. Be strong. These are the moments that create democracy. You know, the line we heard as a kid, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, doesn't just apply to wars and all that kind of stuff. It's far more important. It applies to everyday actions. It's just things like this, little things. Getting an anti-GMO petition on the ballot, setting an example. Apparently, it's going to be the people who stand up for their rights who become the shining city on the hill, who become the example for everyone. And word by word, at community radio stations, letters to the editor, we'll get what is true out there, even if certain police incidents are chilling the exercise of free speech.
All right, Dennis O'Brien. Former general manager at KMEC Radio here, show host. And thanks for being with us. Is there any last comments you'd like to add as we wrap it up here? We've got a few minutes, a couple minutes.
Sure. First of all, I've always told myself if I was ever going to be on one of these shows and someone said thank you, all I was going to say was, you're welcome. Because everyone always says thank you in return, which is okay, and I now realize why. Because as I'm sitting here watching you do this, I realize how important your job is. You know, I got this one thing going on, and I'm getting it out there. You've got two or three people just today. You got the independent going on. And I know from that experience that you just mentioned, it's not easy. These folks out there in the listening audience, this type of advocacy doesn't just happen. It takes real people doing real work to make it happen. If you're not a member of the Mendocino Environmental Center, I'll even put in a plug now. Join. Only $35 a year. And part of that does go to support KMEC Radio and this type of extremely important work. Community radio is the voice of the evolution of community consciousness. So support it and listen often. Thank you very much, Christina.
All right. Thank you, Denny. And people can also... check out our website, MendocinoCountry.com, where you can get up-to-date news on what's going on in our county and look for our papers. They're throughout Mendocino County. It's called the Mendocino Country Independent. We're out the first of the month, every month. That was Dennis O'Brien. He's a legal expert, former manager at KMEC, and he was telling us about local law enforcement. Local law enforcement violating the First Amendment rights of people here in Mendocino County, and what he has done about it. He's written a complaint, and hopefully people won't see any more of that from law enforcement. Well, we're going to take a break, Midnight Pony Ride from the Druid Sisters, and we're going to be back with another guest, our last guest for the day. And we're going to talk about a Native American support network. So stay tuned. This is the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour.
You're listening to the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour. We're broadcast live every Monday on KMEC Radio 105.1 LPFM here in Ukiah at the Mendocino Environmental Center. KMECradio.org. We're also broadcast every Friday, 9 to 10, on KYBU 96.9 FM in Covelo. I'm Christina Onnestad, host and publisher of the Mendocino Country Independent. We're a monthly publication of news, art, and culture here in Mendocino County. In the studios with me is Michael Streeter.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for making the time.
So, you're starting a new group. It's a Native Support Network. Tell us, what is it? What is a Native Support Network?
Okay. First of all, I'd like to start with a one-word prayer, which is commonly used in Native circles, and it's Matakuyasin. And the term, if people aren't familiar with it, is means all my relations. And so generally, you know, when you start something or finish it, you go with all my relations so that, you know, you're thinking in terms of the whole picture, you know, not just your aunts and uncles, your cousins, your rock relatives, the water, the animal spirits, all those, all my relations. So anyway, just wanted to start with that. And the Native Support Network is a group that was originally existed in the early 90s in Ukiah and Anderson Valley area, and basically came together around the Big Mountain issue. And then we got into publishing a newsletter, as well as doing a lot of on the land support, and you know, just trying to get some issues out there about Native issues locally and in the bigger picture. And so we hung together for 4 or 5 years and did caravans out to Big Mountain, which is Hopi Navajo land out in Arizona, northern Arizona. And we were mostly in support of traditionals on both sides, but mostly Navajo. And they were faced with forced relocation. They divided up land that was a joint use area that was used by both the Hopi and the Navajo. And in dividing the land, there were 10,000 Navajos that were on the wrong side of the fence. So they were facing forced relocation. So we went in support of them, mostly elders. A lot of elders.
When you say in support, what did you do?
We did a number of things. Mostly, we tried to support their existence on the land, which was helping with herding sheep, helping to bring wool to the land, and helping with basic structures. Because part of the Relocation Act required them to stop building anything new and stop developing the land because they were supposed to be moving. So we basically went and did whatever we felt we needed to.
And I just want to let people know that that was basically alleged to have occurred so that way coal mining could increase on the land, because there's two coal mines in that region.
Yeah, that's the Black Mesa coal field. It's huge.
And the Kayenta coal mine.
And so we basically went and helped out with ceremonies, depending on how much time people had. We set up a weaving project so we could sell their rugs more directly, because the only place they were selling their rugs was to the trading post, and they were getting very little of what they were worth back for the rug. So we set up the weaving project.
So could you tell us a little more, like, what, you know, what does that look like, getting very little back from what they're worth?
Well,
what did they make from a trading post versus a weaving collective that you formed?
Right. I would say that we get probably in maybe 10 to 20% of what the rug was sold for back through the trading post. And the trading posts are just little outposts on the reservation,
the
that
where
sell
people can go buy
basic goods, that kind of thing. And so they weren't really getting much for the rugs. And so we moved over $1 million worth of rugs and did shows, rug shows around the country and even, you know, farther. And so we helped with that. We ran the what we call the survival school, which was set up so that they could continue their culture. We could have gatherings. We could herd their sheep while the elders came and taught the youth in a camp-type situation. And just basically did whatever we could to support their existence there.
Okay. So, So what's your vision now, 20 years later, 15, 20 years later now with the Native Support Network?
Well, it just got, to me personally, it got to be too far to go to Arizona whenever I felt like I needed to do something. So my intention is to form a group around here that will become familiar with some of the issues, Native American issues, and, again, offer our support in whatever way that can be. On the land support, help with occupying if that becomes an issue, help with basic housing needs. You know, I'm not sure what all the needs are, and that's why I was hoping to form a group and have a little broader reference point for you know, people's experience of what those needs are. And it's not limited just to non-Indian people, although that's what I figured most the group would be mostly. You know, if there's people from different tribes in the area that want to, you know, work with us, that'd be great, because a lot of times there's a breakdown of information and what's really going on because there's not a lot of news or information that's out in the general public. And so I would just like to invite.
So what are some of the of the issues that you've become aware of here in Mendocino County?
Well, mostly I attended the benefit maybe 3 weeks ago. That was Ukiah Stands with Rattlesnake, Friends of Rattlesnake Island. And so I went there. It's over on the east side of Clear Lake. And it's the Sulphur Bank Rancheria or reservation there. And talked to Jim Brown, one of the elders there, and found out that there's work that they need help with their situation to try to keep Rattlesnake Island under their control. It's not under their control right now. It's privately owned, but it should be under their control.
It's privately owned by John Nady.
Yes. And so...
multimillionaire.
You know, any way we could offer support. Also, you know, he said, well, they'd like to put in a garden. You know, there's some structures there that could use some work. So basically it's a process where it gives people an opportunity to get familiar with the situation, because a lot of times a reservation is kind of like a foreign country. You know, it's kind of like a different language a lot of times.
Sovereign land.
Yeah, sovereign land. Different language a lot of times, different customs. So it's not a situation that you can just go into and be helpful and understand. So if we start to grow a support group that starts to have interactions with the different tribes, then we can get more familiar with ourselves and with the tribes and what the needs are and those kind of things. So
why a Native American support group?
Why do you mean, for me personally?
Yeah. And why should anyone get involved?
For me personally, I was involved since the early 80s in all kinds of protest actions and arrests and
social justice issues and social justice movements.
Yeah, civil disobedience, nuclear, Diablo Canyon, Livermore Labs, all those places. And, it was really good, powerful actions that we took. But, you know, we could only shut down the machine for a day or two, and then they're back up and running again. So, and we're all trying to get out of jail and get back into our, get our life back. So I went to the reservation in 1985 down to the
mountain.
Okay,
we have a couple minutes left to let you know.
Okay. And it just seemed like the right place. You know, the people are here, they have their land base. You know, I can go out and support that and feel like I'm really helping in the long term.
So I'm wondering, do you do any kinds of – now, this is for non-Native people to get involved in Native American issues and support Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So do you do any kind of training around cultural sensitivity or what is your perspective around that and racial consciousness when interacting with an of-color community?
Well, mostly, like I say, it's the interaction that brings you that experience. And so, by forming a group and going to the res and, working a little bit with the people, talking, see what's going on, educating ourselves a little bit around it, and then if there appears to be the need to do more cultural education, then we can do that. But, like if we're going to be involved, let's say, with Rattlesnake Island, and occupying Rattlesnake Island, which I think is what needs to happen at this point to push the issue. we wouldn't want to just go there as a group without really having some experience and having them know us. And, you know, that way we could just be better support. So that's kind of the
support,
idea.
Support, not mm-hmm. leading, but supporting.
Oh, yeah, definitely taking direction from the people on the land.
All right. So, Michael, what's your contact info for folks who are listening saying, you know, I might be interested in getting to know the Native American community and maybe supporting some other social justice issues? How can people do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, my phone number is 707-462-1324. And we already had one meeting with the Native Support Network, but it was a pretty small turnout. There was
okay, where do you meet and when? And then we got to go.
Okay, May 2nd, 7 o'clock at the MEC.
Okay, so that's Wednesday, May 2nd, 7 p.m. here at the MEC, 106 West Stanley Street in Ukiah. Michael with the Native Support Network, thanks so much for being with us on the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour.
Oh, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Mendocino Country Independent News Hour. I'm Christina Onnestad.